Perek Yud Ches, we're holding in the middle of the Perek. Actually, we're holding more towards the beginning of the Perek. Last week we spoke about Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel at great length about whether the Shamayim was created first or the Eretz was created first. If Hashem created the land or the heavens first. We spoke about great length about Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in general. And I mentioned last week that Rabbi Yomi Izmir is Pirush V'loy Oed Ella over here in Pirkei Deblezer has 12 explanations of what the root of the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is over here, whether the Shamayim was created first or the Eretz was created first, but we're not going to get into that, and if it's a very interesting thing to look at, the 12 explanations of Rabbi Yomi Izmir, we're not going to get into that. We're going to start today from the Inyan of Shabbos. As you probably are aware, in our Shiurim on Pirkei Deblezer, since the beginning we've been basically following the order of the creation of the world from the beginning of the 6 days of creation, and now we're up to the seventh day of creation of that Shabbos. So we're up to the word Shenemar. It says Shenemar, or the Radal takes out the word Shenemar. It says maybe it's supposed to say Nemar. It says in the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis at the end of the sixth day, it says Vayichu Hashemayim Ve'Oretz V'Chol Tzuam. And Hashem finished the Shemayim V'Oretz V'Chol Tzuam. Hashem finished the heavens and the earth and all the legions. So the word finish is a very interesting word, because the word finish can have two connotations. You can use the word finish to mean like when you're creating something and you finished creating it, so that's finished. Vayichu, it's finished. Or you can say the exact opposite. When you're trying to destroy something and you finished off the last piece, it's completely destroyed, so you finish it off. It's finished, it's gone. Like for example, when I was growing up, there was a famous video game called Mortal Kombat. So in this game, there was you had like a little character and you're supposed to fight a different guy, and when the other guy's health points get down so low that like he's about to get killed, so there's like a voice that calls out and says, "Finish him!" So finish can not just mean finish creating something, but finish can also mean to finish destroying something. So the Medrash says like this, it says Vayichu Hashem Ve'Oretz V'Chol Tzuam. That means that Hashem finished creating it. The Medrash is going to say that maybe we should understand it in the way that it means Hashem finished destroying the Shemayim V'Oretz. And it says it like this, V'Chicholu Shemayim V'Oretz Miliyayit U'Mala'am Ayit Oid. Did the heavens and the earth stop existing and finish from being existing altogether? It doesn't exist anymore. V'Aleik V'Aneimar, doesn't it say Aleihem? Doesn't it say about them in the Pasuk, in Yirmiyah? It says, Halayas Hashem Ves Oretz Ani Molei. Hashem said, I fill up the heavens and the earth. We're going to see a little bit, we're going to see this Pasuk again later on in a few minutes. But Hashem says, I fill up the heavens and the earth. So we see that the heavens and the earth still exist. So how can it say Vayichu, that it was finished off? It was like as if it was destroyed. So what's the meaning? It says the Midrash, Ela Shekalu Mi Melacha Mi Payalu Mi Tzivui. What does that mean that Hashem finished? Hashem finished the Melacha, the work, the creative work needed to create the world, Mi Payal, the actions needed to create the world, the Tzivui, the commandments Hashem used to create the world, as we say in Tehillim, says Hu Tziva V'Nivro, Hashem commanded and things were automatically created. So the command of Hashem, by word of Hashem, the world was created. So these three things, the malacha, creative work, the actions, and the commandments, that's what Hashem finished. That's why it says in the pasuk, and he finished the Shemayim V'Aretz. But not that Hashem actually destroyed the world; it means he finished creating it. This is the way I understood the Medrash. The Radal has a slightly different way of understanding it, because it's slightly difficult to understand that the Medrash misunderstood that the word Vayichulu, which means finished, it thought it meant finished being destroyed, but really it meant finished being created. What's happening over here? So the Radal explains that what the Medrash was thinking wasn't that Hashem destroyed the world. Rather, that Vayichulu means that Hashem's, let's say, influence in the world stopped. It was finished. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. We know that Hashem has Hashkacha Pratis and Hashkacha Kolis, that Hashem oversees the world in both a general way and in a detailed way. But the Medrash that Vayichulu means that Hashem finished, he stopped intervening in the world. Chas v'shalom to say such, but that's what the Medrash might have thought, you might say that. And then he said, no, it finished meaning, not that he finished intervening in the world seeing how everything plays out, but he finished intervening in the creation of the world. Now the world is created, now he finished the creation. What? Amar Yisrael, Klal Yisrael said, and this is a very interesting medrash, it's sort of difficult to see what's happening over here. Amar Yisrael, Klal Yisrael said, Amar Yisrael of Nei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael said in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribon Kol Olamim, Master of the Universes, Hashemayim V'Haaretz Kilisa Mimlacha Mipoyel Umitzivui B'Sheishes Me'Abreishes. The heavens and the earth, you finished create with the creative work and the actions and the commandments in the 6 days of creation. However, rachamecha v'chasadecha al tichla, but your mercy and your kindness, that should never finish. So you finished creating the world, but don't finish giving us mercy and kindness. Shem tichla, who said anything about mercy? Like, what do the two things have to do with each other? So Hashem was creating the world, and then it says, but don't stop your mercy and your kindness. I know. And they said, Shem tichla rachamecha v'chasadecha, because if you finished your kindness and your mercy, we won't be able to stand. Because the world stands on your mercy and on your kindness. Shinema, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki haharim yamushu me'itcha lo yo, Ki haharim yamushu, because the mountains can be moved or removed, v'chazdi me'itcha lo yamush, but my kindness to you will never be removed. That's the end of the Pasuk. U'brish lo'imi le'simoit, and the covenant of my peace with you will never be moved. Omar me'achabecha Hashem. So says the one who has mercy upon you, Hashem. So what's happening exactly over here? So the way the Radal understands it is that they were saying that, you know, the way the world works is that people evidently are bound to be doing averas. It's impossible for a person to live in this world without doing an avera. So they're telling Hashem that even though you stop creating new things in the world, but we still need your constant flow of kindness and mercy in order for the world to continue to exist. That's the Pashat Avon of the Medrash. Rabbi Yomi Ismail has a little bit slightly different pshat. I don't want to get into it, but he asked the question, why does it say that? They said, if you stop your mercy and your kindness, in under your Yecholim Lamed, we can't stand. So it should say even better. It should say the world cannot stand, not just that we can't stand. The whole world can't stand. Okay, but that's basically the idea over here in the Medrash. But let's go to the next thing. It says that Hashem finished on the seventh day. Shava chinuchos bara Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created seven things which require inauguration. Sheish mehen chinuch va'achas shmor ledaros. Hashem inaugurated six of them, and one of them is saved for the future generations, and then Hashem is going to, so to speak, inaugurate it. What are we talking about? Bara yom rishon, Hashem created the first day, or He created that which He was created on the first day. V'chinchay, and He inaugurated it. V'gomer kol malachtay, and He finished all the work done on that day. The Radal switches it. He says, "Oh, first He finished all the work, and then He inaugurated it." Shnemar, as it says in the pasuk, at the end of the first day of creation, it says what Hashem created, and then it says, "Vahiyana vayvayker yamachot." It was evening, and it was morning. The first day one, or the first day. So Hashem first said what was created the first day, and then it says, it was morning, first day. That's the inauguration. And all the 6 days of creation, it said what Hashem created each day, and at the end of each day, it said, whatever the number is, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, etc. However, right, the last day, Hashem says, etc. Then at the end of the sixth day, it says that Vayihar Vayvaker Yom Hashishi was the sixth day, and then Hashem stopped. Bara Yom Shvi, Hashem created the seventh day. It didn't say what Hashem created on the seventh day. It doesn't say that Hashem created anything. And it doesn't say about the seventh day of creation, and it was evening and it was morning. Why not? Why doesn't it say about the seventh day, just like it says that about the other days of the week? The Medrash says, Shushamo Lederes, because the completion of the seventh day is saved for the future generations. Hashem is keeping it for later. We're only going to realize the full tachlis, the full purpose of Shabbos in the future when Mashiach comes. Shenama, as it says in the pasuk, v'haya yom echad, there will be a day who yivoda la Hashem, it's known to Hashem, lo yom v'lo laila, it's neither day nor night. And the Medrash is understanding, it's a pasuk in Zecharia, the Medrash is understanding that pasuk that says that there's a certain day that's neither day nor night is referring to Shabbos. Because by Shabbos, it doesn't say Vayhi Erev Vayikra. It doesn't say, oh, there was day, there was night, it's Shabbos, it's the seventh day. It doesn't say that about Shabbos. Why? Because it's for the future. There's a certain day that's known to Hashem in the future where it's going to say Vayhi Erev Vayikra. But as far as it is right now, it's Lo Yom V'Lo Laila. It's neither day nor night. This pasuk is brought down in other contexts to refer specifically to the times of Mashiach, which we call it a day which is neither day nor night. They say that in the times of Mashiach, so the Avera that caused the moon to be made small, the sin that made the moon smaller, is going to have it's going to be fixed. There's going to be a tikkun for the moon, and the moon is going to be restored to its original size. And the sun is going to be so big and so powerful that it's going to be Shiva Sayim. Shiva Sayim means, according to many explanations, it means 49 times its strength. So the night is going to be as bright as the day, and the day is going to be 49 times brighter than it is now. That's what's going to be in the future when Mashiach comes. And there's a Rashash in the Medrash Rabbah, I forgot exactly where, the Rashash says that the night that Mashiach comes is going to come at night. It's going to be a night that's going to be like day, because it's going to be sunny outside, because the moon is going to be as big as the sun. There's going to be daylight, but it's going to be night. That's what it means, that yom echad yivod el Hashem lo yom v'lo laila, that Shabbos, that's the fruition of Shabbos, that's the completion of Shabbos, because yomayis Mashiach or olam haba, that is the point of Shabbos. Like we say in Zmiris, in Leil Shabbos, we say, Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Merucha. What is Me'ein Olam Haba? Let's say a fraction of Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Merucha. Yom Shabbos Merucha is a taste of what Olam Haba is. The Gemara in Brachos in the last parak says, the Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba. Mufarshim say Dafka 1/60th, because if it was less than 1/60th, then it would be bottle and you wouldn't even be able to taste anything. But it's 1/60th, that when you taste Shabbos, you can sort of taste, you can taste Olam Haba. And when we talk about the Shir Shel Yom for Shabbos, so by the Shir Shel Yom of Shabbos, we say Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbos, Mizmor Shel Asad Lovay L'Yom Shekulei Shabbos Amurin Ucha L'Chai Yalavim. That's what Shabbos is. Yom Shekulei Toiv. And that is completely good. So that realization of the completion of Shabbos is only going to come about in the end of days. But when we're talking about Hashem creating the world, it doesn't say Vayera Vayivaker Yom HaShvi'i or Yom Shvi'i. That's left for the future. L'mah Adavar Doime, what's the Indian of Shabbos comparable to? L'echad Shalahayu like Kli Chemda, to a person who had a desirable vessel. V'loy Rotsa L'Hanchiloi Elo Livnoi Ha'Eved Esay. And he did not want to bequeath this desirable vessel to anybody except for his son who serves him. He specifically wants his son to inherit this desirable vessel and nobody else. So Shabbos is what the Medrash is saying, that Shabbos is a desirable vessel. A Kli Chemda, a desirable vessel, and Hashem Dafka wanted to give it, and specifically wanted to give it to the Jews and to nobody else. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Soto Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Shabbos Menucha Uktusha Shehayu Lefanav. The day of Shabbos, the rest and the holiness which was in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or the Radal brings the Gersa of the Minar Samar, Yom Shabbos Bracha Kedusha Shailafanav, the blessing and the holiness that was in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'rotzalah Hanchila Ela Yisrael. He only wanted to bequeath it as an inheritance to Klal Yisrael and to nobody else. So Shabbos is called a Kli Chemda, a desirable vessel. So what does it mean Shabbos is a Kli Chemda? The Radal brings the Maseches Avos, the Mishnah calls the Torah Kli Chemda. The Torah is a desirable vessel. But here we're calling Shabbos is Dafka Kli Chemda. In fact, if you look in davening on Shabbos, so we say on Shabbos, in Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Yisrichu v'malchus chol Hashem v'Shabbos v'kori yoinig amikad sheshivi kulam yisbu v'yisengu mitova v'ashir yotzitzavim v'gitashtei chemdas yomim ma'isei karasa. You call Shabbos chemdas yomim ma'isei karasa. You call it chemdas yomim, the desirable of the days. Why is Shabbos called chemdas yomim, the desirable of the days? So this question is asked by a lot of Mefarshim. I seem to remember I found a few different explanations for it, but I couldn't find them. The only thing I was able to find right now in my notes was that Rashi himself talks about this. Rashi has a sefer called Isser V'Heter L'Rashi, which is more or less an explanation, parts of it is an explanation to the Siddur. So in Isser V'Heter L'Rashi in Simen Nun Ches, Rashi says that if you look in the Targum on the pasuk of Vayichal Elikim by Yom Yishvi, that Hashem finished on the seventh day, it translates the word Vayichal as V'Chomir. Hashem desired the seventh day. Not Hashem finished the seventh day, or finished on the seventh day, but Hashem desired the seventh day. The seventh day, Shabbos, is Chemdas Yomim, is the desirable of the days. That's the day that everyone wants, desires. Everyone is looking for Shabbos. They all want Shabbos. I wanted to compare this to another medrash. The Chazal tell us, I'm not sure if you can compare this or not, maybe this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but maybe it does. The Medrash says that every day of the week has a zivug. It has its match, it has its spouse. It's married to something else. The only day of the week that doesn't have a zivug is Shabbos. What does that mean? So the Pashat explanation is, let's count the days of the week. You have Sunday and Monday. So Sunday and Monday, they're a pair. Because there's a time where Sunday and Monday are joined together. When you're talking about Sunday night, Bein Shmashas, before it becomes Monday, so you have Sunday, Monday. Then you have Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, Friday. Shabbos is left on its own. Shabbos is a day that doesn't have a zivug. It doesn't have a partner. Or another way of explaining it, this is the way that Vilna Gaon explains it. It says that every day of the week, that when Hashem created things on that day of the week, so it has a corresponding day of the week that Hashem created similar things on that day of the week. For example, Sunday, Hashem created light and darkness. And on Wednesday, Hashem created the sun and the moon. So Sunday and Wednesday go together. Monday, Hashem created the firmament to divide between the upper waters and the lower waters. On Thursday, Hashem created the fish and the birds, which come from the upper waters and the lower waters. So Monday and Thursday go together. And that kesher between Monday and Thursday, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was besakin to read the Torah on Dafka on Mondays and Thursdays, and with Beis Din used to convene Dafka on Monday and Thursdays. That's why we have long Tachnun on Monday and Thursdays. So Monday and Thursday goes together. Tuesday, Hashem created the ground, the earth, and the flora. And then on Friday goes together with Tuesday, because Hashem created the animals on Friday, the animals that live on the earth and they eat the floor, etc. So you have Sunday and Wednesday, Monday and Thursday, Tuesday and Friday all go together. What about Shabbos? So Shabbos doesn't have a day that goes with it, because Shabbos is a day that's Ein Lezivuk. It doesn't have its match. And then the Medrash, I believe, says that Hashem said, oh, Shabbos doesn't have a match, I'm going to give it special to Klal Yisrael. And that's why Shabbos is, we call Shabbos a Kala, Shabbos Malkaso. It's like a queen, or it's like a bride. And we say, L'cha doidi likras Kala. It's all part of this idea that Shabbos doesn't have its zivug in the days of the week. So Hashem sort of gave Shabbos over to Klal Yisrael. It's a special thing that Hashem gave over to Klal Yisrael. At this point in the Shir, on Friday, so Rabbi Epstein asked me a question. He says, what does it mean that Hashem gave Shabbos to Klal Yisrael? Now, if I'm giving you a piece of paper, so I can give you a paper. But how do you give someone a day of a week? What does that mean? He gave them the day of the week. So the answer is like this. The purpose of a person in the world, it says, I believe in Mishlei, Adam la'amal yulad. A person was born la'amal, to toil. A man was created to work. And that's what Hashem wants from men. Whether that the Gemara understands that pasuk is even applying to Jews. The Gemara says, is it talking about toil and learning, or is it talking about toil in the field, whatever. But the point is that a person is created to work. And we find that during the Mabul, from the time of Noah, so the celestial bodies did not continue in their normal paths. They didn't move around in their normal ways. The movements of the astrology and astronomy, they weren't under normal circumstances. The seasons got all messed up. The summer and the winter, it became one big Mishkan Mabul. So after the Mabul, Hashem said to Noah, look, I promise you that from now on, all the seasons are going to be in a specific order, and it won't deviate from that. The nature won't deviate from that. And says, "Yom la'ila la'ish b'isu." The day and the night will never cease to rest. It'll always be day, 12 hours day, 12 hours night, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. That will never stop. The world will never get confused like that. The nature will continue flowing in the same way. 12 hours day, 12 hours night, vazel. That's the Pashup Shad of Pesukim. Chazal understood that Yom V'Layla La'ish B'Yisu, the day and the night will not rest, is not necessarily talking about the day and the night itself not resting, but it's talking about people. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Goy Shishamas Chayiv Misa. A goy who keeps Shabbos, he's Chayiv Misa. Why? Because Hashem expects that a person is always supposed to be working. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants a person to always be working on something, making creative work and fixing the world or whatever. That's what Hashem always wants. Yom V'Layla La'ish B'Yisu. A person decides he's going to be lazy, he's going to take off a day, a 24-hour period, that's already a problem. Yom V'Layla La'ish B'Yisu. Now the exception to this is what we call Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is dafka time when it's usher to work. Hashem doesn't want you to do malacha. Hashem rather wants you to imitate the way of Hashem, that on the seventh day he didn't create anything. 6 days he created, seventh day he didn't create anything. That's the Indian of Shabbos. So when we talk about Hashem giving over Shabbos to Bnei Yisrael, we talk about Hashem saying, Bnei Yisrael, you're special, you're different than all the other nations. The other nations don't have a day of rest during the week. They're supposed to work the entire day, the entire week. You, Klal Yisrael, are special. You have a day off. And in fact, there's a medrash that says in the Tanit of Eliyahu, it says that when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, so they tried to take off on Shabbos. When they were working as slaves, they tried to take off Shabbos so that they didn't have to work. And the Egyptians were ridiculing them. What are you, lazy? What's the matter with you? Why aren't you working? You're supposed to work. Well, you take a day off. Well, what do you think this is? They didn't understand that there's such a concept. Because that's what Hashem wanted for the world. Hashem wanted it in the world that people should continuously be working. Hashem gave a special present to Bnei Yisrael that they have a day off. But in general, if you look in the world now, you know, let's say the Christians, they have their Sunday off. Where do they get that from? They got that from our Torah. We have off Shabbos, so they decided that they're going to copy us and decide that they're also going to have off Shabbos. And then a few hundred years into Christianity, they decided, you know, they don't want to be exactly like the Jews, so they switched Shabbos to Sunday. So they decided they have Sunday off. But now you see that as the world is becoming more and more secular, and they're forgetting about their the Judeo-Christian roots, so Saturday and Sunday are increasingly becoming considered work days, like Tuesday and Wednesday. They lost that because, you know, now that they're not trying to imitate the Jews anymore, so the default is that you're supposed to work every day of the week. That's the Indian of Shabbos. That's what it means that Hashem gave over Shabbos. So the Medrash say that Hashem, just like a man wants to give, to bequeath his son a desirable vessel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka wanted to bequeath to Klal Yisrael the Indian of Shabbos. Teinu l'cha shuchim. You should know that such is true, that Shabbos is a special, is a precious, a desirable vessel. K'shiyatzu mi Mitzrayim, from when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, before Hashem even gave them the Torah, Hashem bequeathed the Shabbos to Kal Yisrael. Right? Chazal told us that Hashem gave over the Shabbos, the Indian of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos was given to Kal Yisrael in Mora. Mora is not long after they left Mitzrayim, but before they got the Torah, which was 3 months after they got out of Mitzrayim. So they got Shabbos beforehand because Hashem wanted to give over this present. The Gemara calls it a matana teiva yeshli beis kinazai. Hashem v'Shabbos shemay. Hashem wanted to give over a special present to Bnei Yisrael. The Shabbos, even before he wanted to give them the Torah. This was so important that Hashem wanted to give it first. U'shtei Shabbos shavs Yisrael al shalei nasan la'mitzvah, and Kol Yisrael kept two Shabbosos before Hashem gave them the Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk. Beginning of the pasuk says, "Shabbos kachera hidat lehem." You inform them of your holy Shabbos, and the end of the pasuk says, "O mitzvahs v'chukim v'sarah tzivis lehem biyad meisha avdacha." And mitzvahs, commandments, v'chukim and statutes and Torah, you commanded them through Moshe your servant. So first it says, "Shabbos kachera hidat lehem." You inform them of Shabbos, and then it says that you gave them the mitzvahs from Moshe Rabbeinu. That tells us that Hashem dafka gave Shabbos before He gave us the rest of the Torah. Fine. Now the Midrash is going to have an interesting discussion about it. Kodesh Baruch Hu Shomar V'Kiddush Shes HaShabbos V'Yisrael Einan Chayavim Lishmor L'Kiddush Shes HaShabbos. HaKodesh Baruch Hu Himself keeps and sanctifies Shabbos. Hashem keeps Shabbos and He sanctifies Shabbos. And the Jews are not obligated to keep and to sanctify the Shabbos? Of course they are. So that's how you know that the Jews are obligated to keep and to sanctify the Shabbos. What does it mean to keep? We know that Chazal tell us that there's two lashonos, there's two expressions used in regard to Shabbos observance. In Parshas Yisro, when it's talking about the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisro, it says Zochar Yisim Shabbos Akadshay. You should remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. And in Parshas Vaschanan, in this week's parsha, it says, Shomer Hashem Shabbos L'Kadshay. You should watch the Shabbos in order to sanctify it. Shomer, watch it. So what's the difference between remembering and watching? Chazal tells us that watching means mitzvahs leis essays, and remembering means mitzvahs essays. So the way I understand it is like this. When you remember something, you have to remember to do something. Remember to go out and actively go do this thing. So that's the positive aspects of Shabbos, what you're supposed to do for Shabbos. Shomar means to guard. Guard yourself from doing such and such. That's the negative commandments associated with Shabbos. Guard yourself, watch yourself, make sure you don't do that which you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. So we see that Hashem keeps Shabbos, so Klal Yisrael also keeps Shabbos. How do we know that Hashem keeps Shabbos? Take the Shulchan, you should know that this is true, that Hashem keeps Shabbos. How do we know? Boy, come and see. When Hashem gave the man to the Jews for 40 years, Hashem would give him the man all 6 days of 6 days of the week, 6 work days. But on Shabbos, Hashem wouldn't give special man. They didn't have the man on Shabbos. Now, so you see from that Hashem keeps Shabbos. Now the Midrash says, maybe you'll say that there's a different reason why Hashem didn't give the man on Shabbos. Maybe you'll say that the reason Hashem didn't give the man on Shabbos is because he didn't have the koyach, didn't have the ability to say such a thing. But maybe you would think that that's the reason, that Hashem didn't have the power to do such a thing. But really, it's not because he keeps Shabbos, but because he lost his power. So the Gersa of the Radal says, no, that's not true, because you see that Hashem would give it every day. Meaning, as the Radal explains, meaning, if you want to say that the reason why Hashem didn't give man on Shabbos is because he lost energy, so why is it that all of a sudden Sunday he was able to give it again? Rather, you have to say, Ela Shabbos in front of. Rather, it was Shabbos in front of him, and that's why he didn't give it on Shabbos. Now the Midrash is going to say another proof that we know that Hashem keeps Shabbos from the fact that there was no man. And l'firach ha'yinez lehem lechem yomayim bashishi. Therefore Hashem would give them double man on Friday. Shneva, it says the pasuk, "Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem es haShabbos." See that Hashem has given you the Shabbos. Al kein hu nesin lachem bayam es shishi lachem yamayim. Therefore, He gives you on Friday double bread, double mun. Well, what are you trying to say over here? So the way the Radal explains it, I'm not sure exactly if this is what the Radal is saying, but I think this is the basic idea. Is that you would have thought that Hashem has, you know, up there in Shemayim, He has a certain amount of reserves of mun, and He grants the Jews those reserves of mun. And the reason why He didn't give on Shabbos is not because He keeps Shabbos, but because he simply ran out. And by Sunday, you know, He replenished his supply, so He's able to give again. But Shabbos, He ran out. And that's why He didn't give on Shabbos. So to that, the manager is saying, no, that's not true. Because we see that Hashem gives double on Friday. So giving double on Friday, or giving once on Friday and once on Saturday, is the same thing. So you can't say that the reason why Hashem didn't give on Shabbos is because He ran out. Because if His problem is running out, so then why did He give double on Friday? Rather, you see that the reason why Hashem didn't give one on Shabbos is because Hashem keeps Shabbos. Gavin Shirah Yisrael Shashavas Lafanam. What the Jews saw that there is Shabbos in front of Hashem, Shabbos Gamhim, they also rested, they also kept Shabbos. Shneimar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Parashas B'Shalach, when it's talking about the story of the man, it says, Ve'yishbisu al-yom ha'om bayom ha'shvi. And the nation rested on the seventh day, meaning they also kept Shabbos. Now we briefly mentioned, I believe it was in the previous parak, we spoke about an idea of, does Hashem keep mitzvahs or not? So, we know that there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that Hashem puts on tefillin, and there's other Chazals tell us that Hashem, as we saw before in the previous parakim, Hashem fulfills the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Hashem fulfills the mitzvah of Levayas Ameis, and Simchas Chosin Rekala. So we see that Hashem does perform, so to speak, Kabiyachol, Hashem does do positive commandments. But the question is, does Hashem also keep to negative commandments? Does Hashem refrain from doing that which, for let's say, for people is also. So I don't remember if I mentioned this when we first spoke about this, but the Das Zakenim in Parshas B'Shalach sort of asks this question. In Parshas B'Shalach, Hashem says, right before the story of the Kriyas Yom Suf, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael that they should, the V'yachanu lefnei piachirais, lefnei baal tzafai, nechal sachanu al yom, that they should encamp by Piachirais, right in front of Baal Tzafayim, in front of this idol called Baal Tzafayim. There was an idol over there called Baal Tzafayim. Hashem told the Jews to encamp right there next to this Baal Tzafayim idol. The question is that there's the Gemara Mesachas Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis, that says that you're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah as a place mark. You're not allowed to say, meet me next to such and such Avodah Zarah. So the Das Zakenim, Balei Tesis, and Parshas B'Shalach, they ask, how could Hashem tell the Jews, meet me, you know, in camp next to Baal Tzafayim? You're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah to give someone as a place mark. So how could Hashem say the name? So the Das Zakenim answers two answers. First is the classical answer. Oh, it's before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, you can't judge things based on the halachas that we have to what happened before Matan Torah. So before Matan Torah, you can't bring any proofs. The second answer is Hashem is mitzave ve'ene mitzuve. Hashem commands, but He Himself is not commanded. So He told the Jews to keep Shabbos, or He told the Jews not to mention the names of Avodah Zarah as a place mark, but He Himself doesn't necessarily have to keep Shabbos. He Himself doesn't have to necessarily not mention names of Avodah Zarah as a place mark. That's what it seems like from the Das Zakenim. This is a big question. A lot of Mefarshim speak about this in a lot of different contexts. One question they ask is that the Gemara Bava Basra says that Kadosh Baruch Hu castrated the male of Yosin. So the question is, how can He castrate the male of Yosin? It's also to castrate an animal. So if you understand that Hashem is bound by negative commandments, so then it's a question. And you have to give answers. They give answers. Maybe a fish is different. Maybe Hashem didn't do it with an action, so then it's okay. But if you understand that Hashem is not bound by negative, then the whole question goes out the window. A similar thing they ask. Okay, there's a famous word from the Kedushas Levi, the Berditchever. He asks, when you have a Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, So we know that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. So yes, I don't understand. How can we not blow shofar? We need the shofar in order to merit victory in the din that Hashem has, a judgment on Rosh Hashanah. We use the shofar in order to be victorious, to have a good verdict. That's why the rest of every other year you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So why is it that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, then you don't need the shofar? How are you going to be victorious in the din? So the Kedusha Levi says that the answer is that when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so it's also for Hashem to write. So writing is going to be forbidden. So when Hashem writes His judgment on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, He's only going to write a good judgment, because that's all you're allowed to write, because it's Pikuach Nefesh. But a bad judgment is not Pikuach Nefesh, it's the opposite of Pikuach Nefesh. So Hashem's not allowed to write it, so then we don't need the Shofar to help us be mezakeh in the din on Rosh Hashanah. Alright, yeah, there's an obvious question that it's also us to write on Rosh Hashanah. But that's the verse from the Bar Detzvah. So you see, he understood that a Kaddish Baruch is also bound by Yisurim. He's not allowed to write on Shabbos. There's another part they say from the Rebbe, Reb Heschel, in Chanukah, Seder, and Parshas Yisrael. He brings a message that says that Klal Yisrael only eats in Olam Hazeh in the Zchus of Emunah in Hashem. So he says, why dafka in that mitzvah and not in other mitzvahs? He asks another question, the Rebbe, Reb Heschel. It says in the Pasuk, Chazal tell us that there's no retribution for mitzvahs in this world. Whatever schar you deserve for mitzvah, for doing performing mitzvahs in this world, Hashem only gives you the reward in Olam Haba, not in this world. So the question is that there's an iser that when you hire a day worker, so you're supposed to give him the money that day. You're not allowed to leave it overnight, his wages. You have to give him his wages that day. On that day, you have to give his wages. So the question is, how could a Kaddish Baruch Hu delay giving the Jews their reward for the mitzvahs? That you don't get your reward in this world, you get it in the next world. How could Hashem do that? It's also to delay the wages of a worker. So there's a lot of different answers to this question. If I'm not mistaken, the Yisbach Moshe and Parshas Matos talks about it. But the Rebbe Reb Heschel says an answer like this. It says that the halacha is that when you have a shliach that they hire the day worker for you, so then neither the person who sent the shliach nor the shliach himself is responsible for paying for the wages dafka on that day. So there's a technicality why neither because the worker can. The guy who hired the guy who told the agent to hire the day worker will say, no, I didn't hire you, the agent hired you. And the agent will say, I'm not the one that hired you, the Baal HaBayis is the one that hired you. So neither one is going to be held responsible for this iser. But if you yourself hire the day worker, then you're responsible to give him his wages on that day. So the Rebbe Reb Heschel says that this is the pshat in the two questions. This is the answer to the two questions. Because on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell us all the mitzvahs. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu said all the mitzvahs. Like we spoke about in Perek Mem Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. Except for the first two mitzvahs, Vanoichi and Lo Yiyeh Lecha, the mitzvahs of Emunah. So when we're talking about the mitzvahs of Emunah, so Hashem directly gave us those mitzvahs. So therefore, the schar that we get for those mitzvahs, Hashem will pay us back for the reward in this world, because he hired us and He's obligated to give. On the other hand, when we're talking about all the other mitzvahs, so those were given to us through a medium, through Moshe Rabbeinu. So there, it's comparable to a case of a man who got an agent to hire a day worker. Then neither the agent nor the man himself are obligated to necessarily give the wages dafka on that day. So there, Hashem can wait. In those mitzvahs, Hashem can wait till Olam Haba to give us the reward. Right. I just wanted to mention two more midrashim that speak about this concept of a Kaddish Baruch Hu keeping Shabbos. The first one is Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Yud Aleph, Simin Hei. Says in the Medrash, Turnus Rufus Harasha Shalas Rabbi Kiva. Turnus Rufus, he was the Roman governor in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Rasha. He asked Rabbi Kiva the following question: Omar, my yame amai, why this day than other days? He didn't explain himself. Amalei, Rabbi Kiva said to him, my gvar mi guvern, why this man from other men? How does that answer the question? What's the answer over here? What was he saying? Omar, Turnus Rufus said, ma amris lach o ma amart li. He said, what did I say to you and what did you say back to me? Amalei, Rabbi Kiva said to him, Amart li, you said to me, my yom yomai, why this day than other days? Meaning, my shna yom de shabbos al mikol yom. Why is Shabbos different than all other days? The amr lach, and I said to you, uman gvar mi guvern, why this man, who is this man over other men? Meaning, my shna turnus rufus mikol guvern. What made Turnus Rufus special from all other people? Turnus Rufus was the governor of the Roman province of Judea, and Rabbi Kiva saying to him, you asked me why is Shabbos different than all the days of the week? I'm telling you, why is Turnus Rufus different than all other men? Why are you the king, the governor, and not someone else? Omer lo, Turnus Rufus said to him, Shirotza melech lechabdeni. Why am I the governor of Judea? Because the king, the emperor of Rome, he wanted to give me honor, so he made me the governor here. Omer lo, Rabbi Kiva said to him, Avzoi shirotza gedesh boko lechabda. So too, this day, Shabbos, why is Shabbos different than all the days? Because the king, Hashem, wanted to give it covet. So that's why Shabbos is different. Amalai, minonat moidali, where are you going to tell me? How are you going to prove to me that Hashem wants to give covet to Shabbos? Where do we see in the nature that Hashem wants to give covet to Shabbos? Where do we see it in out in the open? Amalai, harei nahar sambatyun yechiyach. Well, the Sambatyun River shall prove it. Why? Because all throughout the week, the Sambatyun River pulls rocks of a Shabbos enough. But on Shabbos, the Sambatyun River rests. So that proves that from nature that Shabbos is something special that Hashem wants to give cover to. Amalai, Saturnus Rufus said to him, Nagda Nagidli Emsa. Nah, you're pulling my leg. You know, you're fooling me. How do I know that this is true at all? So Amalei, Rabbi Kiva said to him, I'm going to give you another proof. A person who can recall the dead, a necromancer will prove it. Why? What's the word I'm looking for? Necromancer, yeah, a guy who can like sort of make a seance and call people from the dead. Called necromancy. Am I right? I think so. Shu'ayla kol yemeis ha-shabbos, v'shabbos ein ha'ayla. A person who can recall people from the dead, he can bring them up the whole, every day of the week, except on Shabbos he can't bring them up. And so Rabbi Kiva tells him, this, you can go out and test it. Go check with your father and see if it's true. So that guy, Turnus Rufus, Chad zman tzarech uvedak bavui uslak kol yoyim ad shabbos. Turnus Rufus went out and he tried to use a seance to call his dead father, and every day of the week he was able to recall his father. Uveshabbos leisolak. But when he tried to summon his father on Shabbos, he wasn't able to summon his father. So the next day b'chad shabbos aske. He tried it again on Sunday after Shabbos. He tried to summon his father, and his father came. Amaroi. So he said to his father, Abba, min demisas is avidus Yehudi. Once you died, he said, Daddy, when you died, you became Jewish. You don't come back. You don't come back to this world when we use our necromancy on Shabbos. You became Jewish. What's the matter with you? Esma, mebnei mal is kol yemeis haShabbos v'Shabbos lo yalisa. I'm astonished. Why is it that all days of the week you could come up, and on Shabbos you wouldn't be able to come up? Through the necromancy. Omaloi, so Turnus Rufus' father said to him, any person who doesn't keep Shabbos willingly in the living world, can, in the world of the dead, he's forced to keep Shabbos. Which is an interesting thing, because why should a guy be chayav to keep Shabbos? So if he didn't keep it in this world, so if he, when he dies, who cares? I don't know. But he's saying a very interesting idea. Whoever doesn't keep Shabbos in this world, when he gets to the world of the dead, he will be forced to keep Shabbos. And therefore, when they summon him through necromancy, he won't be able to come back. Amalai, what do you mean he has to keep Shabbos? V'chi amal yesh lachem, sh'atem amelim kol yimei ha-Shabbos, v'Shabbos en atem noichin? Are you working over there in the world of the dead? He's probably in Gehenim, so over there in Gehenim, you're working that the whole week. You're working on a Shabbos. You're not work. You're resting. That you're forced to keep Shabbos. What does it mean that you're keeping Shabbos in that world? Amaloi, he says, Kol yimei ha-Shabbos anu nidonin. Every day of the week, we're having hard judgments and justice, and Hashem is giving us punishments. But Shabbos anu nochim. But on Shabbos, we're getting rest. As we know, Chazal tells us that on Shabbos, the people who are in Gehenim get taken out of Gehenim. So this is the interaction between Turnus Rufus and his dead father. So he saw from that Shabbos really is something special in the world. That in the nature of the world, Hashem made it that dead people can't come back out on Shabbos. Chazar Eitzel Rabbi Kiva, he went back to Rabbi Kiva. Amalai, he said to him, Im ki dvarav HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechaber es Shabbos. If it's true, like you say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God honors Shabbos, Al Yashay Bal Ruchais. So then the wind shouldn't blow on Shabbos. Al Yorid Bo Gishamim, the rain shouldn't come down on Shabbos. Al Yatzmiach Bo Esav, the grass shouldn't grow on Shabbos. How could all these things happen if Hashem keeps Shabbos? Amalai, Rabbi Kiva said to him, Tipach Ruchei Dehu Gavra. The spirit of that man, of you, should blow up. You don't know what you're talking about. Em Shalach HaMashal. Let me give you a parable. L'shnaim Sh'ayu Dorin B'chotzer Achaz. Two people who are living in one courtyard. Im ein zeh nois in Erev, v'zeh nois in Erev, shalom atar l'talcha b'chotzer. If this one doesn't make Erev, and this one doesn't make Erev, is it going to be mutter for them to move things in their joint courtyard? Of course not. When you have two people that have a joint courtyard, the halach is you need to make Erev chaytzeres in order to carry in there. Because it's neither this guy's rishus nor this guy's rishus. Both of those rishus. So it's comparable to a Rishus Rabbim in some ways. You need an Erev Chatzeres. If there was one person living in the courtyard, it was all his. If all of it is mutter, he's mutter to carry in the entire courtyard because nothing belongs to him, so what's the problem? So Afkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Levishin, Rishus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since there's no other deity besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything in the world belongs to him, it's mutter for Hashem to move around everything from everywhere in the world. So the wind can go from the place of the wind to where Hashem wants it, the rain can go from its place in Shemayim to where Hashem wants it to fall, the grass can grow, all these things can happen because everything is all part of Hashem's courtyard and Hashem decides exactly how everything is supposed to go. It's all in his Rishus. When Kiva finishes off, he says, the people who ate man testify about Hashem. All days of the week, the man would come down, and on Shabbos, the man wouldn't come down. So you see, Hashem keeps Shabbos. Oh, you asked about the rain and the wind. Those things, that's a technicality that Hashem can make it happen because it's all part of his Rishus. It's not a problem of Hitzoh. It's not a problem of Hitzoh on Shabbos. I don't know if this Medrash necessarily means that Hashem actually keeps Shabbos, or the Medrash just means to say that Hashem is mechaber Shabbos. You see, Hashem treats Shabbos differently, so we should treat it differently.
Says that he rested.
What?
Says he rested.
See? But what about the Gishamim and the Esev, all these things? So it's okay, it's his Rishos. It's his Chatzar. Okay. It could be that's Pshat. A similar measure, this one's a little bit shorter, in Shmais Rabbah, Parsha Lamed, Simon Tes. Over there it says this, another story. Meister Ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shul, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Nazariah, Rabbi Kiva. These great rabbis, Shehalchu L'Roimi. They went to Rome to give drushes over there to the Jewish community in Rome. Vidar Shusham, and they darshan over there, and they said, Ein Drachav Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Kibasa V'dam. The ways of Hashem are not like the ways of humans. Why? A human leader, a human ruler, will make a decree. He will decree a decree, and he will tell other people to keep to that decree, and he himself will not keep to the decree. But Hashem is not so. Hashem tells people what to do, and he himself does it. So Nedir says, "Hayusha min echad." There was a certain min, a person who was a sectarian. Maybe he was a Christian or something like that. There was a certain person, a heretic, When all these rabbis went out from the drasha, Amar lehem, he said to the rabbis, "Ein divrechem el kozach. Whatever you said is only it's falsehoods." Lo yamartem elikim oimer va'isa. Did you not say that Hashem says and does? If that's true, lama ina misham resa Shabbos. Why doesn't Hashem keep Shabbos? Amru loy. So the rabbanim said to him, "Rasha sheba elam, wicked one of the world." Is a man allowed to carry within his own courtyard on Shabbos? He said to them, yeah. The upper worlds and the lower worlds are all part of the courtyard of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokis, Meloi Chol Aretz Kavodei. The whole land is full of the covet of Hashem. And they said to him, even if a man is going to do an aver, he's going to carry on Shabbos. Carrying on Shabbos by definition necessitates moving from where you are to moving to a different spot. Right? Is that not true? That you have to move from where you are, from your position to a different position in order to carry on Shabbos? So the Rosh said, yeah, hey. So the Rabbanan said to him, "Ksiv." It says about Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk that we quoted earlier. Hashem said, "Is it not true that I fill up the heavens and the earth?" And we know if Hashem fills up the heavens and the earth, so whatever is going to be moving around from Shemayim to Eretz, from one place to Shemayim to one place in Eretz, or Eretz to Eretz, whatever, all of that is considered part of Hashem or part of where Hashem is. Nothing is, Hashem is not, so to speak, moving from place to place. So you can't say that Hashem is sort of carrying on Shabbos. That's not called carrying. It's called staying in the same place. If I take something in my right hand and I put it in my left hand, I didn't move it, I'm still holding it. So whatever Hashem does, it's still in the reshus of Hashem. So you see in all these different midrashim that there's an idea that Hashem keeps Shabbos and that's supposed to be an example for us that we're supposed to keep Shabbos. To not carry on Shabbos, that's the example we were speaking about specifically over here. But it's talking about all the Isurim of Shabbos. Okay, let's see one more point of it. Let's finish up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beirach V'Kideish Yisrael HaShabbos V'Yisrael Einan Chayavin Ela Lishmor HaKadosh Yisrael Shabbos. Now we find another aspect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed and sanctified the Shabbos. And Klal Yisrael is only obligated to guard and sanctify the Shabbos. And we said that there's an Indian of Shamar and Zachar to keep from doing averas on Shabbos and to go out and actively do a mitzvah on Shabbos. So we said that Hashem not only was Shomer Shabbos, he guarded himself from doing that which shouldn't be done on Shabbos, but he also would go out and his Berach V'Kiddush is on Shabbos. He would go out and actively bless and sanctify Shabbos. So Klal Yisrael shouldn't do that? Of course we should. Klal Yisrael is also obligated to be Berach V'Kiddush of Shabbos. Mikanah, from here, Chazal said, Kol Mevorech Al Yayin B'Leili Shabbos is Marichin La'Yomo V'Shneisa Ba'ilam Azeb. Anyone who makes a bracha on the wine on Leil Shabbos, which is the Indian of Zohar Yisrael Shabbos, Chazal tells Zachreo Al Yayin, should remember Shabbos on the Yayin. That's the Indian of Kiddush, make Kiddush on Shabbos. So any person who makes a bracha on Yayin on the night of Shabbos, they lengthen for him his days and his years in this world, and they add to him years of life in Olam Haba. And that's what it is. The way the gears of the Bais HaGadol you have on the bottom, it says, we lengthen for him his days and his years in Olam Hazeh, uva'olam haba. And it says, because it says in the puzzle, kivi yibiyo machal ba'olam hazeh, v'yosif v'lecha shetzayim ba'olam haba. That's the manish over here that Chazal are telling us. Yeah, if a person makes pashas, it means kiddush on Leil Shabbos, he's going to get a special reward on Mabon Olam Hazeh. Rabbi Leomi Izmir says, what's the Indian of special Indian of keeping Shabbos that you get Olam Mabon Olam Hazeh? So this is that based on what we're going to say at the end of the parak next week, that it says in the pasuk, Kol Shemer Shabbos Michalalei, a person who keeps Shabbos from defiling it. I mean, he guards himself from defiling Shabbos. Chazal tells us, "Atikir mechale el mocholoi." Person who keeps Shabbos, mocholoi, his averes are forgiven. So that's what it means. When a person keeps Shabbos properly, so So his affairs are forgiven, so then he's going to get a good portion. That's what Rabbi Leomi Yisner points out. Chaim Falachi says, he notes an interesting diktuk over here. It says, anyone who makes a bracha on the yayin on the night of Shabbos. It doesn't say a person makes kiddush on the night of Shabbos. So he says that it could be that this is even referring to not just making kiddush, but also when you bench, birkas hamazon. So usually during the week, for whatever reasons, we don't usually make a bracha on a cup of wine when we bench. But leil Shabbos dafka, you should make a cup on a cup of wine. And he says some people specifically refrain from wine during the week, either because they can't afford it or because it's not good for their health. And he says, but these people dafka on leil Shabbos, there's the inyan that you should have special kreishal bracha, and this kreishal bracha will actually bring a person bracha, and it'll help them have a richos yamim, a richos shanim, and good things in elam abon, elam azeh. That's one point that Rav Chaim Falachi makes. And the other point Rav Chaim Falachi makes brings us to an interesting discussion. He says that it says that if a person makes kiddush leil Shabbos, so he gets mesifin la yamo v'shneiso b'elam azeh, he gets special life and a special bracha for life. It says it could, that's why there's a minig, some people have this minig, especially have this minig, I think there's some chassidim that also have this minig, that when you make kiddush, so when the person who's saying kiddush says savri, so other people answer l'chaim. So why? What's the meaning of saying l'chaim when you make kiddush? Because that's exactly what we're saying, that when you make kiddush, then you get barichin l'yamo v'shneiso, you get a special life, and they add to you. So that's the Indian of saying l'chaim when you make kiddush. If you look in the Mefarshim, there's three basic other explanations of this Indian of saying l'chaim when you make kiddush. The first one is like this. We'll say it like this. The Das Kanim in Parsha Shmini, when the Torah tells us yayin v'shecher al tesht, that there's a prohibition of drinking wine before you go into the Beis HaMikdash and before you render a halachic ruling. So over there he says that the minig is that when you make a bracha on the wine, or when you make kiddush, so we say l'chaim. Why? Because we find that wine brings death to the world. How so? When Adam, one of the explanations we gave before, I think it was in Perek Yud Aleph, I think it was, one of the explanations we said of what was the Eitz Hadas, we said that it was wine. The other mission drank from wine, and that wine brought death to the world. So we want to say that when you make kiddush, you should dafka say l'chaim, that this wine is not for death, it's for chaim. This wine is a good wine, not a bad wine. The Tamei HaMinhagim in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Reish Tzadik Gimel brings in the name of a sefer Ateres Zakenim, a similar explanation, that by Noach, we find that Noach drank wine after the Mabel and ended up exposing himself, and then whatever, and he got castrated or sodomized or whatever, and then basically he gave a curse to Canaan because of this story. So we see that wine can bring curses. So therefore, when we make kiddush, we dafka say l'chaim, meaning we're drinking this wine not as a bad wine that's going to bring a curse, but as a good wine that's going to bring life, l'chaim, to life. That's the Ateres Zakenim brought in Tamei HaMinhagim. A third idea is the brother of the Maral, Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maral Miprag, has a sefer called Sefer HaChaim. He also says this idea that wine sometimes brings good things, it helps people become happy, it helps cheer people up, and on the other hand, sometimes wine brings bad things, it makes people sad, and it causes people to make to damage and do things that they regret. So wine has, wine can go either way. It can either cause good or cause bad. So it says that's why when you make kiddush, you dafka say l'chaim. You're trying to say that this wine is l'chaim. It's for good. It's good wine. It's a wine that's going to bring about life. It's not a wine that's going to cause death, cause destruction to the world. And the similar idea of Chaim Falachi in his Pirush on the Haggadah Shal Pesach, he has a sefer called Chaim L'Roish. So over there in the beginning, by kiddush, so he says that wine, we make a bracha of wine of Barei Priya Geffen. The word Geffen is the same letters as the word Negef. Negef means plague, and Geffen means the vine. So he says that the wine has sort of two attributes. It could cause like a plague, it could cause death and badness of the world, it could cause goodness. So that's why we dafka, when you make a kiddush, you say l'chaim. You're trying to say that this is a good type of wine, not the bad type of wine. Al kapar, these three explanations, or four explanations, are basically saying that the wine could go either way, good or bad. So when you make kiddush, you want to say you're dafka making it a good type of wine. Right, that's one basic mahalach. The second basic mahalach is from the Abu Jaham. The Abu Jaham says, I think it's in Hilchos Brachos, I forgot to write down exactly where it is, but Abu Jaham writes that the halacha is that when you have wine, when you bring out yayin, wine, in the middle of the meal, so the halacha is you don't have one person make the bracha and be moitzi everyone else. That's not what you do. Because if it's in the middle of the meal, people are eating. And if somebody make the bracha and everyone else will have to answer amen, so then a guy who might be eating is going to try to answer amen, but he's in the middle of eating, he'll choke and then it'll be bad stuff. So the halacha is when you bring out wine in the middle of the meal, each person makes the bracha for himself. But when you have the wine in the beginning of the meal, when nobody has eaten yet, so then you can have one person be mitzvah everyone else. I'm not sure if you should have one person or you could have. I'm not sure exactly what the halacha is. But that's the way it is. So that's not the usual way of having wine. Usually they have the wine in the middle, not in the beginning. So when you have the wine in the beginning of the meal, like when you're making kiddush, so first you tell everyone, savri. What does the word savri mean? So savri means think or listen. Pay attention. Listen, I'm going to be mitzvah you. So pay attention. I'm making the bracha right now. Right? So they all answer, oh, l'chaim, oh, to life. Why? Because the way that Abu Jaham explains it is that it's not supposed to be l'chaim, to life, but actually l'chayi, lamed ches yud yud, which in the Lashon of the Gemara means yes. So he says, savri, are you guys listening up to my bracha? And everyone answers back, yes. That's why you say not l'chaim, but you're supposed to say l'chayi. That's what the Abu Jaham says. So that's the second pshat why you say l'chaim by kiddush. My pshat is a little bit, there's a little bit of a story to it. Yeah, I know. The Munkacher Rebbe apparently came out very strong against this minig. He said, no, you're not supposed to say l'chaim. I'm not sure if he said it was a hefsek. I forgot exactly what his reasons were. In a few of his farm, he writes against this. He says, no, you're not supposed to say l'chaim. You have not to do it. And then somebody showed him a Medrash Tanchuma. Now this Medrash Tanchuma is brought in the Tamei HaMinhagim B'Shem Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Vayakel. And I wasted a lot of time trying to find it. It's not in Parshas Vayakel. It's actually in Parshas Pekudei. The Medrash Tanchuma says like this, that it used to be that when the Beis Din would try capital cases that involved the death penalty, so after they heard the case, then they would ask all the members of the Beis Din, you know, what each person holds. So the way they would ask the question is they would ask him savri. Savri means think. I mean, what do you think, savri? And each dayan on the Beis Din would answer either l'chaim, to life, or l'mavis. Does this guy deserve to be killed, or does he not? He deserves to live. And that's how they would do it. L'chaim or l'mavis. L'chaim or l'mavis. Savri. He would say l'chaim. Savri. He would say l'mavis, etc. And when they would actually go out and execute a person, so Beis Din would first have him drink wine, so the wine would sort of dull his senses, so he wouldn't feel as much pain when they do the Arba Mises Beis Din. So you see, the Indian of Savri and L'chaim has to do with wine. And as a zera to that, we're trying to show that when we drink wine by Kiddush, it's not the bad type of wine that has to do with killing somebody. This is L'chaim, this is a good type of wine. So somebody showed this Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Pekudei to the Munkacher Rebbe, and the Munkacher Rebbe said, you know what, you're right, it's a good minig, and he stopped coming out against it, and he said, you know, I'm going to try to fix it in subsequent printings of my Sefer. Like my Rebbe, Yosef Yitzchak Lerner Shlita, in Shmir Seguf HaNefesh, Simin Nun Gimel, he points out that later printings of the Munkacher Rebbe's Sfarim didn't fix it, so it seems like he still came out against it, but he said he was going to fix it, but people didn't fix it. After he died, they didn't fix the printings of the Sefer, but he speaks about this at great length. Now, it comes out that this L'chaim is the source of the minig to say L'chaim by Kiddush. Another Kabbalah Sefer called Ma'avar Yabok in Maimer Beis, Perek Lamed Vav, he also brings this Medrash Tanchuma. So you see that could be the source of this minig. Maisa Ashkenazim don't really do it. I think it's a Sephardi thing. I think some Hasidim also do it. And that's basically it. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. And we'll reconvene at a different time. Kol tov.